doing there. It is my privilege to be here this morning and to be able to preach, and I'm thankful to Pastor Jeremy in allowing me to do that. And I think these stage lights are probably dimmed. I don't know if we need to turn up the stage lights. I feel it's kind of dim. I'm not sure, but we might need to do that. But go with me to Matthew chapter 28. All right. Obviously, this is a portion of Scripture that anytime you're talking about missions, anytime you're talking about doing things and speaking about what the Lord has given us to do in regards to what we've been focusing on over this last month. And I'm thankful for every one of the special speakers. Thankful for last Sunday, I was encouraged greatly by Brother Tad and what he was teaching on, and thankful for him to direct our thoughts towards just a unique passage in which he was able to bring our thoughts in regards to missions. And this morning, probably going to do a little bit more. If you've been around Christianity for some time, it's going to hit some verses that I think you probably are familiar with. But my desire is that we would mutually be burdened, mutually be excited and repurposed in remembering what it is this is all about. And I think about this passage, and I think about several passages that we'll be going through, and I'm reminded of the reality of what this is all about, missions. When we think of missions, we think of missionaries, right? Those would be part of the package of what we're talking about here this morning. Missionaries would be a person or individual, a family, sometimes a couple, sometimes a person that God has called on a special plan for their life, that part of their day-to-day life, part of what they do as part of their job, if you will, is preaching, teaching, taking the good news of the gospel to different places in the world. Sometimes it's to the neighbor next door. Sometimes it's within the boundaries of our great country. Sometimes it's outside the boundaries of our country. Sometimes you think of the faraway lands of Africa. And I know in generations past, that continent was a great mindset. When we thought of missions, we thought of certain pictures that would pop up in our mind of children in need in these places. And we think of that aspect of missions, missionaries. And that's good. That's a great part of what we're talking about. But we are talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission, that word and that mindset comes out of Matthew 28. So that's where we're at this morning, Matthew 28. And I'm going to be honest with you, this has been quite a week for me, beginning last Saturday. One of my two children, Jacob and Justin, they play basketball. And last Saturday was our opening practice for basketball, kind of getting things going. I'm involved in their Christian school basketball program. And on the very first hour of the very first practice, Jacob took a turn on his knee, and we think something bad happened to his knee, and that was not good. And so then there was doctor visits, and there's been things that have had to go on. Then me and Ms. Blandy had to fly out to her work, had a trip out to Florida this week. So we fly out Tuesday, come back on Friday. We were there in Florida for those days. And then Friday we got back. There was activities at the school Friday night. Saturday, we celebrated my oldest son. He'll be turning 18 on Tuesday. We celebrated his birthday yesterday with 60 of our closest friends. With several family and friends that were there, his class and stuff like that. So it's been a busy week. It's been difficult. But man, my heart has been burdened thinking about what God wanted me to share this morning. And so I am cheating a little bit. You'll see me sip a bit of coffee. We had friends and family until about 11, I don't know, something like that. We ran them off at the end there. And so I'm famous in my house for when friends and family are over, I begin to turn off lights around the house. Is there any light turner offers? No? Am I the only one? All right. I think it's for ambience. I get accused of I'm running people off. I'm like, I just like the dimmer lights, you know. It's like, but people get the hint and leave eventually. And then I got up this morning praying about this message, and I'm like, I'm on my second cup of coffee, and so I'm gonna be full transparent here, because that's how we are here at Bethany Baptist Church, right? So, thankful that we can turn our attention this morning on what God wants to share with us. You know, this is not some mystical ideology that we're talking about. We're talking about the Great Commission. Comes out of this passage in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is obviously towards the end of when Jesus, after the resurrection, will be ascending to heaven. And in a few moments, he's leaving with the disciples some final thoughts and some final instructions. And among them, here we come to verses 18 and forward. And I want to read for you. I'm obviously reading out of the New Living Translation, Matthew 28. And I'm going to read verses 18 to the end of the chapter. And it says, and Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 24 gives us this reality. It says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 14, it says this. if you find it there quickly, it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. We find here that scripture teaches us the reality of the need for the world to know the good news of the gospel. And we find here that Jesus doesn't go to the Roman soldiers of his day. He doesn't go to Caesar Augustus. He doesn't go to the mayor of the town. He doesn't go to the president of the time. And he goes to his disciples, those who claim to know Jesus as their Savior, those who have called upon him for the forgiveness of their sins, those who have been redeemed by the shed blood that he shed on the cross. Those are the people that he goes to, and he gives them a commission, right? In the world of politics, there's an incident that takes place this past week, or I think the past week, in the last few days, there was a commission report of the attempted assassination of Trump. Back in the 60s, when President Kennedy was assassinated, there was a big deal made about the commission that came out, the report of the commission. The commission was given a responsibility to investigate something. And here, we as Christians, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we've been given a commission. I want us to focus on three aspects of this commission this morning. The task that we've been given is very straightforward. It is for the world to know that there is a Savior that died for their sins. It is for the world to know that they are dead in their trespasses and sin. And if they die in that state, there is a separation from God that will exist in their reality and their eternity. And that their hope, who is Jesus Christ, does not want that reality in which they are living in to continue. He died and rose again to rescue them from their condition, from their sin, and from their eternity separated from him. So we've been given a great commission. This morning, I want us to focus in, because in the next few moments, Pastor Jeremy and our church has selected the month of October this year to be a time for us to make a commitment to God. And as a different churches, I've explained this before, I'll take time to do it again today. Many churches, they'll just say, hey, out of the general budget, we're going to take 5%. We're going to take 7%. And 7% of everything that comes to the church, we're giving to the missions budget, right? Certain churches do it that way. We as a church have decided that on our little envelope system, on the app when you give, you can designate to what we call our missions program. And we have decided that every dollar, every cent that comes into the missions program, it doesn't go to paying the lights, it doesn't pay the insurance, it doesn't pay the parking lot, it doesn't pay salaries. What it does is it goes directly to the missionaries that we support to our missions program, accomplishing one section of the Great Commission that we've been given. And so the way that we do that is that once a month a year or one Sunday a year, we dedicate and we have a little commitment card so that every individual, every family, every couple, however you want to do it, you can say, hey, you know what? This year, I want to give $50 a month. I want to give $100 a month. And that money, it's not going to pay the light bill. It's not going for the general operation of the church. It's going to help missionaries take the good news of the gospel. It's going to take our church to be able to give so that more people can hear the good news of the Great Commission that we've been given, the good news of the gospel being spread. So this Sunday, that's what this is about. Very plain forward, very, very simple, very straightforward. That's what we're trying to talk about, right? And we see here that we are doing something that the book has asked us to do, God's Word instructs us to do. Many portions of Scripture tell us about that reality. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. By the way, one of the issues that our world has, we have a great problem with equality and a misunderstanding of equality. Our public schools teach evolution. And by the way, evolution was where racism was born, because evolution was the first one to teach that certain races were higher than other races and things like that. The Bible has always said that all humans are at the same place at the foot of the cross. We all need a Savior. We're all sinners. And not only that, here in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 says, go unto all the world, regardless of race, regardless of culture, regardless of language, regardless of looks. It didn't matter. The Bible tells us that God wants to rescue the world. We've been given a great commission. This morning, I'd just like to take a few moments for us to think about that great commission. Think about what God would have us to do in regards to the great commission. But I need God's help this morning. So why don't we pray and ask for God's blessing and God's direction here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. This morning, Lord, I am unworthy. Were it not for your grace to be here. I pray, Father, for every one of my brothers and sisters in this auditorium and at the reach of my voice, that your word and your truth would guide us. I pray, Father, that you would help us because we desperately need of you. Lord, our culture and our day has lost sight of what is important. So frequently and so often, we turn to things that are so meaningless in light of the great commission and the great responsibility we have. I pray, Father, that you would guide us now. Direct our thoughts for a few moments. Burden us. Open our eyes spiritually to see the great need around us. And lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First of all, I see here, as we look to Scripture, as we look to these realities, I see a great commission without an omission. A great commission without an omission. That is to say that the great commission leaves nobody exempt from the responsibility. That is to say that if this morning you are like myself, and here I am at 43 years of age, and I was saved at 12 years of age, so that means that 31 years later, I'm here as a 31-year-old Christian, I still have a responsibility towards the great commission. We had somebody, Josiah, I heard him sharing about a young person that was once a student that recently got saved. How long ago was it? On Friday, got saved. What was his name, Mr. Josiah? Juan. Juan got saved. Guess what? Juan's responsibility for the Great Commission is the same as mine. He's a two-day-year-old Christian, a two-day-old Christian. I'm a 31-year-old Christian. But there is a commission without an omission. That is to say, nobody is exempt from the responsibility we have to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Jesus was talking here in Matthew 28 and verse 18, it says Jesus came and told his disciples. He told those who have called upon the name of the Lord for salvation that they had a responsibility. They had a commission. They had been given this reality. And dear friend, this morning, you and I have been given a commission without an omission. We are not exempt. It is not an age thing. It is not according to whether you were born in the 40s or 50s or 60s. It is not a generational thing. It is not a cultural thing. It is not a denominational thing. Well, if you're a Baptist, dear friend, this morning, we have been given a commission without an omission. Every single disciple follower of Jesus Christ has the responsibility to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey the commands that he had given us. And I encourage you, dear friend, this morning to look at it through that lens. To look at it through the lens of your responsibility. Man, I tell you what, we live in a generation that likes to avoid responsibility. We live in a time where I know that responsibility is almost a curse word. It's a taboo word. Why? Because everything that takes place, we want to shift blame. We want to shift responsibility onto somebody else. And yet we see here that Scripture teaches us that we have a commission without an omission. There is no exemption here. Say, Pastor John, but you know, I am not a missionary. Well, see, we find here that the reality is that Scripture doesn't make a distinction in regard to that. You see, the New Testament is often referred to as the beginnings of Paul's journey, the great first missionary, and he was going around and he was taking the gospel, and many of the letters that fill up the books of the New Testament are letters that he wrote while on these missionary endeavors. But the reality is that there was never a thought in the early church so that Paul was a missionary, but the rest of the believers were something else. They were all missionaries, and that is how they filled their world with the truth of the gospel. That is how these people were referred to, these 12 disciples, as those men that turned the world upside down, because they realized that there was a commission without an omission, that every one of them had a responsibility, a great responsibility. Takes me to my second point this morning. Not only do we have a commission without an omission, we have a commission with an obligation. See there in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. You know what? Why don't we go there? That way you can see it with your own eyes. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 presents to us this very straightforward obligation. It says there in verse number 15 of Mark chapter 16, I believe it is. Yes, that is correct. It says there, and then he told them, go unto all the world and preach the good news to everyone. To everyone. Dear friend, this morning, can I encourage you to realize that if you work at Walmart this morning, that Walmart is your mission field. Can I tell you this morning that some of you that are teachers, some of you that work in some place, wherever it is that you check in and clock in on Monday morning or on Tuesday afternoon or whatever point you check in, that is your mission field, because today you have an obligation to share the good news, because God tells us in His Word that we are to go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Man, can I tell you something? We live in a time. And I'm not getting into politics here, but we live in a time in which, for better or for worse, the world has come to us by the millions. And we can talk about the reality of what needs to happen politically, but I can tell you this, what an opportunity to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. to share it with the world all around us. I was up at we were visiting Bob Jones University with my oldest son a couple weeks ago, and man, everywhere you go, you hear different things. Even as we walked around, we were walking around there downtown Disney area on Wednesday night, or was it Wednesday or Thursday? I don't remember now. Days are blurred. Any case, you heard languages, all these different languages being spoken there in different places. And it's incredible how the world has become so mobile in today's world because of flights and because of different things. There was a day where that wouldn't be the case. You could live your whole life and only hear somebody speak English around you. And now that's not the case. And we can, like I said, we can argue the politics of it later, but we can tell you this. We have an obligation. There is a commission with an obligation. There's a commission that has left no omission, but there's a commission that is not only not exempted anybody, but it's given us an obligation. Nobody can tap out. Nobody can say, well, I just wasn't called to be a missionary. Well, if you're a follower and a believer as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have an obligation, and not an obligation to come to church. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not an obligation to be a member of a church. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an obligation to share the good news of the gospel, to be part of the Great Commission accomplishment. So this morning, I encourage us to look towards these truths. The Bible tells us that we are accomplishing something that our great Savior wanted us to accomplish. You say, how is that? What are you talking about? Go with me to John chapter 20. Go with me to John chapter 20. You with me this morning? All right. We're good, right? We're good. If you need coffee, you're welcome to it. I can share some of mine if anybody needs some. If not, the coffee shop's still going, so. John chapter 20 this morning. It's good to be in family this morning. It's good to be in the family of God and just to be able to relax. Sometimes I feel like at church, we feel like we're so rigid. It's okay, guys. We can relax. We're good. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. Says this, and again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me. What does the next line say there? Oh, I thought y'all were with me. Let's try that again. And as the Father has sent me, not quite a passing grade there, much like my fifth grader. So I am sending you. Jesus came into this world because the Father sent him. The Father sent him because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He came to this world because the Father knew that you and I were condemned to an eternity in hell, separated from God for all eternity, were it not for his Son being willing to come and be born of a virgin, live a perfect life, suffer temptation and not succumb, and go to a cross, be beaten, and suffer, and die in our place. And you and I this morning are not hungover drunk next to our bed. We're not here enslaved to sin. We're not moral, absolute decay and destruction of our lives only because of the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ making a difference in our life. Because there was a day, whether it be through mom and dad, whether it be through grandma and grandpa, whether it be through a coworker, whether it be through a friend, whether it be through a pastor, whether it be through a good Christian movie or whatever the case was in your personal life, somebody came to you with the good news of the gospel and your life was transformed and changed because Jesus made a difference in your life. And that good news has been entrusted to you and to me. The Father sent the Son to accomplish his mission. His mission to die for the sins of the world. And then the Son turned to his disciples on that hillside on that day, and he did not see those 12 disciples or the 70 or however many were there on that hillside on that day. He saw the generations of Christians, and he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Oh, he came alongside them in John, and he told them, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you to accomplish an obligation that we have before the Father." Jesus sat in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweat droplets of blood as he prayed, and he said, "Father, you have given me this, and it's a heavy task." He cried up to the Father. And you know what? In this obligation of the Great Commission, there are times where it may feel like a heavy task. It's easier to set aside that money for your Netflix account. It's easier to add the Apple One for $31.96 a month as a family, whatever the case may be. And we embark ourselves, and now I'm getting into the weeds here. And we embark ourselves on committing ourselves to this payment and that payment and the stove and the new TV and all these things. And man, it is so easy to forget the commission that we have an obligation to share the good news with our mouths, but also to put our money behind our mouth and say, "Hey, as a church, we want to see the good news of the gospel in Mexico. We want to see the Arellano family. We want to see Abdul Latif in Iraq and in Egypt. We want to see the Casco family in Nicaragua, the Corrales family in Venezuela, the Farfan family in Peru, the Fraga family in Argentina. Share the good news. We want to see the Garcia family in Lebanon. Share the good news of the gospel." And we want them to take the good news because we have a responsibility to share the Great Commission, to share the good news. And we're going to embark on it at Walmart as we go to work. We're going to embark on it on the local ISD where we work. We're going to embark on it every single time we go into that school classroom. But you know what? We're going to embark on it as a church through our missions program as we commit to the Lord. A monthly gift. To say, "God, help this gift to be a direction of my heart." The Bible teaches us in another passage, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It's not because your heart's going to follow the treasure. It's because your heart was there already. So for most of us, as we examine whether or not we're a part of the commission obligation that we have, step one for us might just be having a heart check. Saying, "God, do I care that people are dying without you? Do I care enough to rearrange my finances a little bit to squeeze and say, you know what, I'm going to cut this out, or maybe I have a little bit of cushion here where I can say, you know what, my church and the opportunity that we have to share the good news of the gospel through every one of these missionaries, that as we look at them, as they go to West Africa through the Nunes family, as we go through to South Korea through the Palomo family, as we go to Mexico through the Ramirez family, as we go to Peru through the Sanchez family, as we go to Panama through the Shields family, may we decide, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of that Great Commission obligation that I have. I'm not omitted. I'm not exempt. I can't sit back and say, well, that's for somebody else to do. No, the commission is given to every believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Unless you're willing to step back on that, which I don't believe we are. And we have to step up to the plate of our obligation in regards to the Great Commission. There are several ways, and through many different messages we've heard this. You can give. You can go. You can pray. I trust that you'll do that. I asked Pastor Jeremy, "Hey, where's the list?" I know that there's this on Wednesdays, they do a prayer list. And I knew that in that prayer list there was the missionaries were there by name. Because you see, as a church, we're not only giving to them financially, assisting in their month-to-month obligations, but we are praying for them. We are lifting them up. Why? Because we have a commission obligation. We have been given this commission, and we are obligated to be involved in this process. Seeing the good news go into all the world. Preaching the gospel to all creation, of obeying as Jesus was sent of the Father. He now turns to his disciples and his followers and he says, so send I you into the world. Will it be easy? No. Will you face trials and tribulations? Yes. Will there be struggles? Yes. But we have an obligation. We have an obligation to go and to share what has happened to us. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Look at this. Because, just so many times, the further away from what you get in your timeline of your Christian walk, sometimes it's easy to forget. But look at what Peter and John replied in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19 and 20, Acts chapter 4 and verse 19 and 20, it says this, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Oh, dear friend, this morning we have a commission obligation. We cannot help but be involved in this process. Why? Because he changed my life. Because he took a depleted and demolished life and he rescued it, and he took my sin and he took my depravity and he cleaned me up and he took me out of the miry clay and he rescued my wicked soul. And I can tell you, dear friend, that I'm involved in the Great Commission because I understand what a difference it can make. And every single month that I dedicate time and that I dedicate resources to put into God's work, I am reminded of what God has done. I am reminded of what I have seen and heard. And I cannot help, as Peter and John said here, we cannot help, we cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard. We have a great commission with no omission. We have a great commission obligation, but we also have a great commission opportunity. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 28. It's a great opportunity. You see, as Matthew was recording what Jesus had said, we are reminded that this world desperately needs the gospel. I am praying for certain leadership politically here in a few days. I feel like our country would be better for it. I'm praying for that. Trump 47. But you know, the great hope of our world is not politics. I'm thankful for the 200 plus years that America has been around this world. I feel like it's been better because of it. But the great hope of the world is not America. As that great historian said, America's great because America is good. Where did America get good? Why was it good? Because of the gospel. Great hope of our world is the gospel. And dear friend, I'll be involved in any and every way to make our country great, in making our country better, and being able to see morality and right return to the public square. But the great hope of the world is the gospel. We have a great commission opportunity. We have a great opportunity, and the world needs this opportunity to see Jesus Christ, to hear what can change their life. Acts reminds us of that reality. It says, in Romans chapter 10. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. We were going to go back to Matthew, but let's jump to Romans. Time is slipping by. Romans chapter 10. And this passage reminds us of the process that we are focusing on. Says this, but how, in verse 14, Romans 10 and verse 14, says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? All right, great. They need to believe in him. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Okay, so they need to hear about him. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them, oh, dear friend, this morning, why is Pastor Jeremy, why is our church involved in the Great Commission? Why are we asking you to fill out a card and to say, hey, monthly, I want to be a part of this submissions program? Because there is a world who has the opportunity to hear about the Jesus that loves them and died for them, who can change their reality, who can change their day-to-day life, but they can change their eternal future, can rescue their souls, can take them from the depravity and the emptiness that sin leaves them in, and can fill them with hope and a future, as the Word of God tells us. And they need to turn to him. But how can they turn to him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear of him if there's not somebody to take them the good news and to share with them that Jesus died for their sins and that they can be rescued from their sins through Jesus Christ? Dear friend, the Great Commission is a great opportunity. You and I can be a part of that process. Can be a part of that process leaving these doors. I was at a church one time visiting and I liked it so much. On the parking lot, on the way out, there was signs at every exit. It said, you are now entering the mission field. The moment you leave this parking lot, there's a mission field out there. Across the gate, there's a mission field. And you go to the Golden Corral to stuff your face here in a few moments, there's a mission field. As you pick up that McDonald's drive-thru, as you're walking in, as you're driving out with your 32-ounce Coke and nuggets, you've just left a mission field. Because that young lady at the window needs to know that Jesus died for her. That young man that didn't put the pickles on your hamburger like you asked needs the gospel of Jesus Christ to save his soul. And that friend of yours on the football team, on the baseball team, on the basketball team, that neighbor next to you that plays their music too loud and is always up too late on Saturday night, giving you a headache, needs to know that Jesus died for their sins. You and I have an awesome opportunity. They need to hear. Our neighbors need to hear. Our co-workers need to hear. Our fellow students need to hear. The world needs to hear. And as you commit this morning to say, hey, these $200 a month, these $500 a month, they're my way of showing that my heart is in this. I want God to know, and I want to remind myself monthly what really matters. I'm not going to go from preaching to meddling, but as a society, we have been greatly blessed in America. When I visit my dad's native country of Nicaragua, and as those visitors sometimes arrive to our shores here, I'm reminded of many conversations that I've had when I've had some of those friends over at my house, and I open the fridge. And they're impacted by how full my fridge is. Because they're so used to seeing one or two items in their fridge, if they have one. We have been greatly blessed, friends. And we can be selfish with those blessings. And we can have, there's nothing wrong. I'm not getting into this. We can have the newest truck and the nice upgrades. We can get and we can spend and we can go on the lavish vacations. And there's nothing wrong with that if you can. And God blesses you for that. Great. But when it comes at the expense of us not being able to direct our resources and our hearts to the Great Commission opportunity that we have to share the good news, I'm telling you, dear friend, we're missing out on something. We're missing the opportunity that God has blessed us for. And there was a time where this country greatly understood that. There were decades where this country sent out droves of missionaries, not supported by Mexico, not supported by Nicaragua, not supported by Africa, supported by the churches in America. The last 20, 30 years, that has been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. A missionary that could raise support for him to go to the mission field went from being 7 to 12 months to being 2 years to being 3 years to now being close to 5 years before a missionary can raise $3,000 a month to go and take the gospel to a country somewhere around the world. Why? Because we decided our resources are a better place for ourselves. Because we forgot what those blessings were for. Can I tell you something, dear friend? God is blessing some of you greatly. And I praise God for it. God is blessing some of us greatly, and I praise God for it. But may we take those blessings and look at them as opportunities. There will be no greater joy in your... I'm going to tell you something. Can I tell you a little secret here? Money doesn't bring happiness. It's what you do with it. And you say, that's right. That's why I'm getting a yacht. No, no, no. But you know what? You know what happens when you get the $10 million yacht? You look at the 20. I was watching a video yesterday, or I don't remember when it was, about planes, as these, you know, billionaires go and buy planes. And they was like, oh, what's your budget? $20 million. Okay, these are the 200 options you have for these $20 million planes. And it's the G5, and it's this. And you know what happens when they spend that $20 million on that plane? They look at the $25 million plane. Just like you and I, when we get the $800 TV, we start looking at the $1,500 TV, and we're like, that one looks a lot clearer. And dear friend, this morning, I'm simply here saying, we've been given a commission without an omission. We're all involved in this. We've been given a commission with an obligation. It's not a choice thing. We are disciples. We must. And we've been given a commission with an opportunity. Use what God has blessed you with. You have an extra $20? Give it to the Lord. You have an extra $10,000? Give it to the Lord. It's not about numbers. It's about opportunity. Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask that you would guide us this morning, Lord. I know that there is much that could have been said. But I thank you, Father, for where you directed our hearts this morning. Thank you for your truth, your word. Father, you tell us that how can they know unless they are sent with the good news? Father, as I look through this list of missionaries, I'm thankful for the 25 that we have on our list, plus the many more that we pray for or give individual gifts to. But Lord, might 2025 be a year where we could add 5 more missionaries? Because a few families decided, you know what? I can give a little more. I can commit a little bit more to the missions program. Not just to a program, but to the kingdom of God, so that more kids can hear the good news of the gospel. More orphanages can be established around the world to share the good news with kids that desperately need it. More Bible clubs could be had, like that missionary was sharing with us in the video. Father, that can only happen is if us as a church decide that we're going to do something about it. Father, help us to realize the Great Commission leaves no room for anybody to miss out. There's an obligation that we have. There's an opportunity to be had. Father, I pray that you would work in the hearts. Perhaps this morning you'd say, Brother John, would you just pray for me? God has at least opened my eyes to some part of the truth in regards to the Great Commission. Would you just pray for me? Would you slip up your hand and put it right back down? I can pray for you, knowing that God moved in your heart for that. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else that says, God moved in my heart in regards to the Great Commission? Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. I pray that this morning, I know we're meddling. I know we got to places that are always touchy when it comes to Scripture and the Christian life. We got into money. But may we be directed by the Spirit of God. Father, I pray you'd work in every life, including my own. Lead us, I pray.